Are you ready? Supercross is coming to Melbourne. Don't miss the Monster Energy OzX Open inside Marvel Stadium on November 30. See two-time world champion Chad Reed take on 2018 world champion Jason Anderson from the USA, Australia's best, and the greatest of all time, Ricky Carmichael. More racing, more action, more entertainment for all ages. Don't miss out. Book at Ticketmaster now.
Well done, Scotty McLaughlin.
Big Jack has driven the goal! What a cracker!
And McLaughlin comes to the line.
Yes!
A 2:03.8.
And Scott McLaughlin puts one on the chin.
Jack puts it through. He's a man for the big occasion.
That is off the scale fast.
Australian, a two-time best and fairest, and now a two-time premiership winner, Joey.
We're from Tigerland, a fighting fury. We're from Tigerland. In any weather, you will see us with
89 point winners on Saturday. 3 days followed of celebrations. It's great to have Jack Riewoldt here for episode 9 of Balls and Bumpers. From everyone here, Jack, congratulations. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, boys. Really appreciate it. Yeah. I'm actually in pretty good condition.
Good you showed up.
Yeah, I'm pretty good condition. It's good you showed up. I'm happy, happy with the voice box. And I was a little bit worried that I might come in here and not be able to talk and do the most important part of what's been an amazing celebration that's here on Balls and Bumpers.
What a 4 days you've lived. Scott McLaughlin joins us. You were there on Saturday as part of the Riewoldt clan. It must have been a day to savour and remember fondly forever.
Look, one of my most enjoyable experiences, although it wasn't the closest grand final, would have loved the thriller, but it was almost better to see Jackie Boy kick 5 and see it with his family and all that sort of stuff was really cool. So I had a couple of sherbets after the game as well, and it was a pretty wild day, a pretty cool day for me and Carly as well.
How do you define a couple? Because by the time I'd seen you, you looked like you had about a couple of thousand.
Well, the problem was I was sitting with your brother and I had about 4 or 5, and they were stone cold sober at that time, and I was just trying to loosen them up a fair bit, and I'm pretty sure they were over me by half time. But Cabbage gave me a spray at some point because I was like, "Yep, we're done, we're celebrating." I called it early. He's like, "Nah, you don't do that, you bastard." And it was pretty fun, man. Like, honestly, I had an absolute ball.
Over the next half hour, we'll work through the 72 hours from Friday night right through. We're here on Balls and Bumpers thanks to the OzX Open, the biggest supercross event ever to be held outside of the USA. It's on Saturday, November 30 at Marvel Stadium. We can't wait to see the likes of Ricky Carmichael and Chad Reed out here, and also Jack Riewoldt and Scott McLaughlin on Pee Wee 50s in the celebrity race. Should be very entertaining.
People have been testing, I'm telling you.
Don't know how to ride a motorbike, and I'm a bit worried to be honest.
No, I need to see a shunt. It'd be pretty funny. It would be. Like, I'm going to struggle to fit on this thing. I don't know how you're going to fit on it, but we'll see.
Before we get or work our way through the weekend, just your place, Jack. Now, as I introduced you, 3-time Coleman medalist, now 2-time premiership player, a couple of best and fairest, a couple of all Australians. You played the international rules. It is a CV.
Half-time Norm Smith medalist.
It is a CV you must be so proud of.
Yeah, it is. The individual stuff's here and there, and then you just take that in your stride, but it's the two premierships that are the crowning jewel in my career. I've really enjoyed, especially the last sort of 3 years and everything that's come with that, and the team success is just, it's the icing on the cake, and I'm really, really enjoying this one, sitting back and remembering fondly of a few things that happened on Saturday.
It was a nice moment yesterday. Scott, Fox Footy had their drinks yesterday afternoon. Jack, you were good enough to turn up for a few hours on your way to the best and fairest. Nick Riewoldt was there, and it was a nice moment. I don't think you'd seen each other since Saturday, and there was the big bear hug. No one was game to ask until we'd had 25 beers late last night. We were into Nick about being the second best Revolt in the family. So finally, two premierships. You've probably leapfrogged him, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I'm pretty sure that I've got him covered now. But no, it was a great moment. I've texted him a couple of times and then to see him. And he's been a great backbone for me in my career and a really great role model. And he certainly helped me through a lot of things. And yeah, it was good to celebrate with him.
And
Rui had a win. Rui had a win on the grand final day, with the longest kick. But we'll get into that later. All right.
He did his win last night. He was envious as hell of you. He wanted desperately what you've now got two of.
Yeah, it's a hard one. You always need an element of luck, and that football club St Kilda were a bounce of the ball away from winning a premiership, and it's unfortunate and sad that. Some of the greats of the game actually don't ever get the chance to play in a premiership, but you've just got to make the most of your opportunities when they've come up, and we have had an element of luck with ours and an element of skill too. So it doesn't define me as a player. I don't think it makes my it's been enjoyable, but it's not the be all and end all.
So, Scotty, we decided we'd just go through from Friday night onwards, see where it leads, and just pepper Jack with as many questions about the big game as possible. Can I start with the night before? What sort of sleep do you get? You said a couple of weeks ago you're sleep training with Poppy.
Yep.
At the moment, it doesn't go particularly well. I know from past experiences.
You stayed at home?
Stayed at home, yep, that's right.
How much sleep did you get with baby, but also with grand final nerves, which must be unbelievable the night before?
Yeah, grand final nerves wasn't an issue. Poppy actually, we probably had one of the worst nights we've had for a while. She was up for a little bit, but I mean, Carly was awesome there and did all that and allowed me to get asleep. But I was up at 7 o'clock, ready to go, and it was it wasn't a bad night's sleep. It was a few little ups and downs, but it was okay.
So, do you get worried at 2 a.m. when you're up and thinking, oh, this isn't a good sign for the day when this sleep is not going at all well?
No, not too much. I think Carly moved into the spare room and took all those duties, so I just went back to sleep after that and then got up in the morning and got back to the role of a father. So, yeah, it was actually pretty good. I was pretty cruisy, actually.
Do you think, obviously, your second grand final, were you less nervous going in this one, or just because there's less unknowns, or were you more comfortable in that regard, or were you the same sort of nerves?
Yeah, the night before, to be honest, I just try and fill the time, the idle time. You don't have too much idle time. Mm. So I watched 360, watched a couple other little things.
This is Friday night or Saturday morning?
This is Friday night. I watched 360, and then Saturday morning was pretty similar. The only thing, and obviously, our man Hodgie went a long way to helping Team Revolt win the longest kick on the Yarra. That was the only thing from 2017 that I can remember, is actually watching the longest kick from before the game. So I thought, oh, I'll better recreate that and watch this mug have a kick of the ball. And we did have a small wager on it, so there was something on the line as well, but it actually came to 11:45 when I wanted to sort of leave and go to the ground, and I was up and ready to go, and old mate hadn't had his kick yet, so he had to chuck Foxtel Go on the phone, and we watched on the way in, and yeah, a bit
hope
of,
you weren't driving, mate.
No, I wasn't. I was in in the passenger seat watching Foxtel Go with you kicking the footy off what I would declare a pretty high platform, Tim.
I knew this was going to come up. I knew it. I made the distance with a flat mung, an absolute ball terror, and I hit 40 metres. I was like, yep, sweet. Yeah, I'm going to launch this thing.
Well, one thing I am proud of you, mate, is the fact that you I don't know how you've done it, but you've ditched the black pants and gone the ripped jeans look. Is that a part of the Penske wardrobe now?
May have got a couple of little looks or a couple of texts from the Penske organisation just saying, hey, maybe next time just... make sure those jeans have, no holes in them. But
tuck your jacket in.
Yeah, it's really
your jacket in.
It's really all I had. So I was like, Jack's going to be proud. And the only thing I did was change back to my Puma shoes. I was actually going to kick off some Stan Adidas things, these white shoes that I had. And I thought, I'm going to go back to the Pumas, the old faithfuls, and slot one. And I certainly did.
No, well done, mate. I owe you a dinner at Crown.
You were
absolutely
quite,
I'll take a couple of bottles of Grange and a nice Wagyu, medium rare.
You landed Saturday morning from New Zealand, Scott, and then it was a bit of a rush to get there. But when you got there, you were pretty nervous, weren't you?
Oh, mate, I was. And Jack was texting me as well. He's like, "You nervous or how you feeling?" I can't remember what he said. And I was just, that was probably the closest I've got to probably feeling what he's going to feel. And like in front of like people and stuff, I was just like nervous as hell. It's completely out of my comfort zone. Unbelievable. But quickly realized that no one really gave a shit what I was doing. So I just, I just slotted it. So it was pretty lucky in the end.
Are you glad you said yes to doing it?
Yeah, I am. It was a big day. Like, obviously, I flew out of New Zealand 6:30, which was 4:30 Melbourne time, and I was up at probably 1 a.m. Melbourne time. I think that's half the reason I was so torched at half time. So I think it was...
What, 10 o'clock? That explains a lot.
Yeah, it was a big day for that sort of stuff. But, I'm glad I did it. I'll never do it again because I know that I probably can't kick it the same because it was just a glorious torpedo.
Did you turn left or right when getting onto the plane from New Zealand?
Nah, I could only turn right, mate. Just a little plane, Virgin Australia. Thankful to those guys for the help. Getting me
Ricky,
back home and changing
Ricky Bobby. Oh, yeah. He's made an early charge.
He's their favourite star. So Jack, the drive to the MCG, who drives you?
Carly and I was driving together, and the baby seat's in the car, so she drove in. It was a pretty... There was actually no one on the roads. We sort of got towards... sort of got over the Punt Road Hill there, and I said to her, we've had a decent run in here. So then it's just into the club, find a park at Punt Road, and then it's the chaos
find
of...
Find a park? You don't go park underneath the stadium?
No, no park.
You don't have like...
No, we have the option of parking under the stadium, and I think it stresses our security guard out that a lot of us don't park under there. We park at Punt Road and walk across, and... The Friday,
do you really with the fans?
Yeah, with the fans. So walk through the fans and.
So did you have security with you for that? What is it?
It's probably a 400-meter walk. Yeah. So if, yeah.
What time is this at? 11:45. You're playing at 2:30, mate. You're cutting it pretty close.
12:15. I was started walking over there. So yeah, you've only got to be there 100 minutes beforehand.
100 minutes.
The week before, actually, we had a couple of coppers walking with us. So that was the night one there. So we had two police officers on either side of the players. And then we've got a security sort of security set up there, obviously, with a lot of fans there. And they want to make sure we're getting there safe and sound. So we stroll on over and have the unusual, celebration of a bloke playing his first game in a grand final. So we've got to do a jumper presentation.
When you're in the rooms, do you hear the music and the entertainment and everything else that's going on, 20 metres away up the race?
No, it's pretty unaware of what goes on. We the timings of like on-field availability to go out and have a kick and do a warm-up all sort of change a little bit. So it's a bit of a new experience for some guys who are pretty routine-based. So you've got to sort of do it on the fly and figure it out. But we've been there before, so we felt like we had a pretty good handle over all that. And I went out, just did my normal goal-kicking routine, actually had about 20 shots and I reckon I kicked maybe 1 out of 20. I couldn't get anywhere near the goals. I was sort of missing them left and right. And
were you cursing Scott after the bashing he gave you last week on Balls and Muppets?
Well, exactly. Just bagged me and it's really just thinking about how he'd bagged me on the podcast and how that was going to affect me in the game. So
I'm glad I got in your head because it made you sort of think about it a bit more probably.
Really? Were you bothered by that? Because, we made light of it last week.
About him bagging me?
Yeah, we probably should.
I rang Hodgie on the way home. I said... Mate, did we go a bit hard on the bloke? I was a bit worried about your sort of mental, capacity. Footballers are a bit soft.
Tim, you know what I can see happening here right now? Is this bloke is backing over and starting to apologise because he knows that he's under the spotlight. He is under the spotlight next week. And
can't affect my best execution, champ. I'll be right.
Well, no. If I'm worried about what he's saying about me, I'm going to give the game up.
But were you worried after a miserable
warm-up? Mate, the bloke can't even kick 40 metres.
A miserable warm-up, you're going down the race, back in the rooms. Were you thinking, God, I hope this works this afternoon.
No, I was pretty sort of relaxed. I was actually sort of hitting them pretty well. They were just sort of just going left and right. And then it's you go back and there is actually a fair bit of idle time just sort of because of the pre-game entertainment. And you don't want to start getting into too long of meetings or have too many warm-ups or anything like that. So blokes sort of sit around and we listen to a few tunes and talk a bit of crap, and our VFL boys were down in the rooms as well, so it's good to have conversations with them. It sort of fills the time, and then from there it really is just prepping to get ready.
And were you made aware, or did you see the Phil Davis fitness test going on at the other end of the ground? Just how bizarre that was to be happening, you know, an hour and a half before the biggest game of the GWS Giants history?
No, I wasn't aware of it at all, actually. In passing comments post the game, I've sort of been made aware that it was nearly even right up to the last sort of warm-up that he was still undecided about whether he was going to play or not. So I wasn't aware of that. I didn't have any too much focus on that. It's sort of one thing I did try and do is if I so I knew that I was sort of in a really good mindset and I'd missed a few shots on goal, but then I sort of switch into trying to make sure that there's a few younger guys on our side that they're in the right focus mind as well. So giving them sort of one thing to focus on or ask them what their focus is, and subconsciously it sort of puts you in a pretty good mind frame to get going as well.
Can we pry? What would you have said to...
Oh, so yeah, Shea Bolton, for example, we just try and get him to focus on being as quick as possible. So it's whenever he gets a chance to try and be as fast as possible, that's one thing we put for him. And from my own point of view, and one thing I did review off the back of the Geelong game is at centre bounce, I like to be involved in the play from a sort of coaching aspect that I'm sort of giving instructions, setting things up, making sure everyone's sort of in the right positions. I found myself a bit deep due to the 6-6-6 and someone having to start in the goal square against Geelong, probably started nearly every single centre bounce in the goal square. So I sort of felt a little bit of no man's land there. So this week I made a real point of being up the ground at centre bounce and starting someone else in the goal square so that I could have that effect on those younger guys and on those players as the leader of the forward line.
So we're after 2 o'clock. Scotty, what was your grand final day after the longest kick? When did you arrive at the ground? Did you catch any of the grand final entertainment, and what were your thoughts?
No, it was quite late. I walked across and then went to the pub and had a couple of beers.
This is with Cabbage?
I missed Tones.
Was this with...
No, it wasn't with Cabbage or anything. I was actually with Sando, AusX Open owner, doing a few more deals for the podcast anyway. And then we had a few more beers and then I wanted to try and catch like Paul Cully and that and went across and actually, did you meet Paul Cully or anyone like
didn't,
that?
No,
Tones
I didn't
and
get I? A chance to do that, no.
No, but anyway, I went across there and then, caught a little bit of the last bit of Paul Cully and then, the Holy Grail song and all that sort of stuff was pretty good, and then caught up with your brother and sat down. We were actually right on the end of a row, and it was like perfect because we're just easy access straight to the bar whenever we needed couple more beers it was probably prime position, so I appreciate that but a few hairy eyeballs at halftime calling out Jack Norm Smith medalist and a few other things, but pre-game I was actually nervous, but I was I felt as a friend talking to Jack, like you could tell that he was in a good mindset. Like he was just like in a happy place, and that was actually really, the week before I was quite nervous and stuff, but this week it was quite good. But really enjoyed it.
But as an event and a spectacle, did it live up to what you thought it would be?
Yeah, look, like I said, I wish it was close, not for Jack's sake, but I think as a fan of AFL, it would have been fantastic, but it was even better just like to see him slot those goals, and geez, we're up when he kicked his first, and because he just had nut donuts the week before, so it was good to see him at least kick one, and then he kicked two and then three by half time or something, and we were just up and about, and it was just as a spectacle and stuff, I was stoked to see it for the very first time, and I think Carly was a bit like blown away by it all as well. All the music and how loud it was. It was just an unreal entertainment sort of spectacle.
So at about 2:10, Jack, then you have the last address. Do you remember any of that? Is there any rah-rah at that point, or is it just go and play your role? What is the feeling in the rooms for when Damien Hardwick says the final words to you before sending you out for a
Yeah, there
final?
Isn't anything too sort of rah-rah about it. For us, it's a really good story that we spoke about in 2017 leading into the finals. We spoke about the ability to climb Mount Everest, obviously the highest mountain in the world, and there's a part of Everest called Hillary Steps, which is the last little bit of Everest, and we had a real focus on that year, and then we wanted to revisit it because we sort of all attached ourselves to that philosophy. We wanted to revisit that again, and we spoke about two things actually. We spoke about the Dawn Wall, which is a part of the Yosemite National Park, and there's these two blokes that climb the Dawn Wall together as a team. And there's sort of different stages as they go through, and it takes them about 3 weeks to climb it with no harnesses. Well, so with harnesses, but there's no help whatsoever. They've actually just got to physically get up there, and that's been a real focus on us through the final series. And the last one for us was K2, which is a mountain in Pakistan, the second highest mountain in the world. It's also the hardest, arguably the hardest mountain in the world to climb. And there's a pace on the climb called the Bottleneck at about 400 metres where only 400 people have climbed K2, and you get to the Bottleneck, and it's either you sort of you get through, or there's this part of the mountain is prone to sort of snowfall and avalanches there. So unfortunately, a lot of people pass away at that area too. So it's for us, it was about getting to the Bottleneck. And 2018, we got to the Bottleneck, and unfortunately, our season ended, the preliminary final, and this year we spoke about it again, being the Bottleneck against Geelong, and then working on from there. So we've had a few different theories this year, and that was the one that he sent us out with, and once again we sort of really attached to it, and our language around it on the day was solely due to that, and it got us in a great mindset.
So was that the theme? Because don't you have a theme where he gives you something and stuff like that too?
So that was the theme. We've got a little bit of a... Well, we have something every week where we get a gift or a present off the coach, and we sort of built around things. So we've received shirts about Muhammad Ali, and we receive records of like vinyl records of teams, and handwritten notes about why a certain record represents that person. And the one from the grand final was a rock about and every player wrote on it who they would dedicate their performance in this grand final to on the rock, and then it's sat in the
locker.
That's
cool.
Yeah,
very nice.
Can we ask what about whose name did you write on the rock?
So my person was my grandfather of Ivan. Ivan. So he passed away about 15 years ago as my mum's dad, and just spoke to and sort of just wrote on there about how proud he would, how much I would love for him to see, have met Poppy for starters, because my other three grandparents have, and how much I wish he could be there to watch my career. He never got to see me play AFL footy. And other guys wrote on there, obviously, but loved ones, fathers, mothers, grandparents, friends and whatnot. But it was a great sort of symbolic moment of a reflection as well, just before you go out and go to battle for arguably the biggest game of your career.
One thing I noticed was when the players come out, you were one of the last out of the tunnel, and you were the first one through the banner. You sprinted through that thing, mate. Was that a normal thing?
That's a normal thing, yeah. So I like being last out of the banner, last out of the race, and last off the ground.
Just the TV time, the camera sits right on his shoulder.
It's nothing to do with that. But I feel like there's an aspect of Trent.
There's a bit
of me time, but Trent goes out first as captain, and Alex would sort of be in the middle, and I'd sort of be at the back. We just sort of felt like it represented just the leaders being in the most important parts of when you're going out to play, that is sort of surrounding them and playing that role as leaders, and then just get through the banner as I just want to get through it as fast as possible. So I'm always sort of sprinting through there and just getting it going. Brandon Ellis actually holds it up for me. So,
really?
Unfortunately.
That's awesome.
I'll have to get someone else to hold
it
up.
Yeah, he's off to the Gold Coast, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'll have to find a new
actually, I've got a bit
man.
Of breaking news right now. Tim Kelly requests a trade from Geelong to West Coast. Breaking news, Bulf.
There you go.
Balls and bumpers.
Good luck. Here
first.
Luck, Chris, getting that past Chris Scott.
Anyway.
What is the noise like when you walk up that race? When everyone in the stadium can see you coming on the big screen. That must be just, you must almost float up that damn race.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing sound, really. And I actually ran into one of the cheer squad to do the banner. He's like, "Did you see the banner?" And I was like, "Mate, I couldn't even see a thing because there was fireworks going off left, right, and centre. People are just going absolutely bonkers." And all you're thinking is just get through this banner and let's get it on. So,
it was like a picture.
Yeah, I think it was a picture of Dimmer and Trent. But it's just an absolute roar. It's amazing. Mm. It's like nothing else.
So we'll get to the game. The start. Phil Davis comes to you. At what point do you look at him and think, this bloke is lame? He can't go.
I sort of had an inkling as soon as he came to me. I was like, oh, geez, I thought, well, if he was fully fit, he'd 100% go to Lynchy. My first thought was just get up the ground and get away from Lynchy and try and isolate what we thought was a good matchup with Tom and Aiden Corr. So, I just sort of felt like I didn't really try and put too much focus into how Phil was going. It was more about what I was going to bring to the game with my movement and whatnot. So,
Is there much lip? Was it much? Was it quite quiet between?
No, it wasn't too much lip at all between any of the much of the day, really. To be honest, it was sort of it's sort of hard because you get caught in the moment of just trying to do everything right, be in the right spots, have the structure right, but you forget to talk to the oppo sometimes.
The first term was brutal. It was an arm wrestle. GWS, they stuck right with you, which I think was the fear that they might have got blown out early. So at quarter time, did you go in and think, wow, this is a serious game on here, that they're still with us after 30 minutes?
Look, we probably wasted a few opportunities in front of goal, especially early in the game. We had a few shots that we would have liked to have put through, but...
Should have been paid a mark too, just quietly.
Yeah, that was probably a mark that didn't get paid, Razor Ray. And but then I think the ability to hit the scoreboard really quickly, Dustin kicked the goal, Daniel kicked the goal right on the siren, and that was sort of a bit symbolic for us that... As much as they'd thrown at us, that we were still in front and we felt like our pressure, which is the one thing that we build our game off, our ability to pressure the opposition either physically by tackling them or knocking them over or just having good defensive structure behind the ball. We felt that that was up for us, and we know that if we do that, we can really wear sides out.
So then the second term, it did blow out quick. You kicked three of the five goals for the Tigers in that second term. Did you think going to halftime, if we keep like this, we're going to win the premiership?
We felt... it's really hard because your mind starts to think about, we're going pretty well. But then...
It's about keeping the focus.
It was actually sort of half-time really came in a... Not a good time, but it came in a time where we can sort of go rightio as leaders and there's one of us sort of in every line and a couple in some lines that we sort of go back to resetting. So my focus sort of, as I went back to and said previously, that my focus goes straight to the first-year players or the second-year players or the really young guys, like Liam Baker, Daniel Rioli, Shea Bolton, making sure I'm talking to them about, well, what's your focus, so that when we come out of that, there's a lot of information that can be given to players at halftime, but that one focus of being able to go, well, This is what makes me a good player. So, as I said before, Shea being quick, Daniel being quick, and Liam, it's just making sure he's got his head over the ball. So that was just the sole focus of me as a leader.
So Jack said at halftime he thought he had the Norm Smith wrapped up. Scott, yep. Where were you looking? Did you think he had it as well?
I thought he did. The three goals, and he was just, I was up and about, and I'm just yelling it out with the top of my voice. So just normie, I'm trying to get a chant going and the whole deal. But... yeah, it was so cool to see and how up and about they were, because at the start of the, like Jack said, that quarter time, I was like, me and Charlie were like a bit nervous about the whole deal, and they wasted a few opportunities, but geez, they come out strong in that second quarter. And when did you actually start thinking like that you had it in the bag though? Like, it must have been early, because I remember you said to me it was hard to keep focus towards the end there.
Yeah, well, I think probably leading into the third quarter, Tim and Scotty, it was it was a bit similar to the start of the game where we had some really good opportunities to kick goals and had a couple out of bounds on the full, a couple that didn't make the distance. So an old mind frame could have been, oh, we're missing opportunities here. We're sort of letting them back in. We need to make the most of our opportunities. But Lynchy kicked a really important goal for us, which was big. And then the momentum out there, just with the pressure, and the scoreboard sort of takes care of itself. But it was just the ferociousness at the ball from the forwards when the ball was down there, from the midfield and the backline players when they were just around the ball. It gives you great confidence, and probably towards the end of that third quarter, we started to realise that we were in with a fairly good chance of winning it.
That pass from Dusty to Marlon, was that planned, or what was the go there? That was amazing. It shot across. It looked like it was playing because the way you just walked across there and then slotted it.
I think it sort of just bobbed up out of nowhere, really. But Marlon had actually gotten the ball to Dustin, and then I think this sort of symbolises what the whole club's about. That you arguably your best player, the best player in the competition, and probably a top five player for the Richmond Football Club of all time, goes out of his way to kick the ball to a first gamer when he could easily go back and have a shot, knowing that he's well in the calculations of best on ground. Shows where we're at. And now I'm just proud of Dustin and for Marlon to take that opportunity and kick the goal. It was a massive moment.
Very cool. You can go now, Tim.
You said on Monday night on 360 that when Pickett's goal went through, you were looking up at the sky trying to fight back tears. Like, that must be a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it was a bloody emotional week, and I think Sean Grigg did the jumper presentation to Marlon before the game, you could sort of look around, and there was about, I reckon, sort of 20 blokes sort of nearly tearing up about Grigger talking about what it was like to give Marlon the jumper and the journey that Marlon's been through, and he's had some trying circumstances in his life of previously and sort of up to sort of 7-8 years ago. He's also had some really trying circumstances of recent time as well. So when you know the backstory and you know the journey that someone's been through and you can see them get their opportunity, it's bloody emotional. And there was a real push from the senior players around the club to play him, and it was an extremely brave decision by the coaching staff and the selection panel to pick a bloke in his first game in an AFL grand final. And there was some people outside of the club that were critical about it, but it was a really bold and brave decision by Dimmer and his coaches.
So you start the last quarter, you're up by 10 goals. Everyone knows you're going to win the premiership. What sort of half hour is that to be out on the MCG, running around with 21 of your best mates, knowing that at the end of that 30 minutes, you know, the Holy Grail will be yours again?
Yeah, funnily enough, you do the maths early on. So you're like 10 goals up, half an hour to go. It's a goal every 3 minutes. And they did kick a goal early and just said, okay, all right, well, let's just get one here. Let's, before we start really starting to carry on. But look, sort of halfway through that last quarter, you every time you run past a teammate, it's sort of, you look at them and you just give a little bit of a smile and enjoy it. And it was,
Lippy?
No, we don't. You definitely didn't get lippy at that point of view because they were unfortunate.
Do you believe that, Scott?
Yeah,
I actually had a conversation
with
young Sam Taylor about it, and I sort of said with about sort of 5 minutes ago, I said, "Oh, how are you feeling, mate?" Because young fella, I said, "Mate, I know the feeling because the preliminary final, we were in a pretty sort of helpless position with about 5 or 10 minutes to go, knowing that we're going to lose the game and our season's done in so close to making a grand final that you sort of," and he goes, "Oh yeah, we're just buggered from the whole week, the whole travel of the,
really?
of the grand final series, and unfortunately that arguably two of their best players, Phil Davis, Lockie Whitfield, and you can throw Canigo into that boat too, who didn't play, were not 100% fit." So yeah, it was a really sort of bittersweet sort of finish there, because we were sort of like, We knew we were going to win. Felt sort of sorry for those guys, but yeah, we certainly enjoyed
it. What about your last 2 minutes? The last 2 minutes, three goals. Cochin's goal out of the centre square, then Dusty bombing one from beyond 50,
yeah,
and then you with a second to go.
I've got a rant. When he kicked that fifth, he looked like a flog. What were you doing, mate?
Here we go.
Oh, you just like, oh yeah, here we go.
Mate, how good would it have been
for
Siren to go on when the ball was in the air? It would have been unbelievable.
It would have been all jack time.
Well,
yeah, that would have piled on.
Similar to a bloke jumping on a fence at Pukekohe.
All right, mate. All right, so just like you did with the cup and for a photo. Anyway,
the The last 3 minutes have just sort of... The Cochin goal was a bloody fantastic moment.
Captain's goal.
It was awesome. And then sort of seas just parted and players were just running away from him to try and get him all the way in there. And 360 did a fantastic piece on that with the quad core where they've got all the different bits of commentary around it. And it was a really defining moment, I think, just for us to look at that as the captain to go and kick a goal like that for us was bloody important. So, the final few seconds after I'd kicked that goal, Dustin and I were sort of gesturing to the bench how far it is, how long to go. Because in 2017, myself, Dustin and Sean Grigg, who are all really good mates, were talking to each other with not long to go, so we'd make sure we'd be together so we could celebrate together. and we were yelling at the bench, and then no one was sort of giving us any back. We could see them celebrating, so we knew there wasn't long to go. And then Matt Stevick, the umpire, goes, because they must be hooked in, he goes, oh, there's only 1 second to go. So Dustin and I looked at each other, and we're literally standing about 2 metres away, in the completely wrong structure for centre bounce, just so we could run and hug each other, and we'd word a Lynchy up as well. So
that's awesome.
It was pretty funny.
How cool is that stat for Lynch, though? He's won 19 games with Richmond and only 19 with Gold Coast Suns. That was impressive.
Oh, I didn't know that one, actually.
I saw that today.
He's a bloody good player.
So then Dusty Martin wins the Norm Smith, which I think everyone expected. The legend of him now, a Brownlow medal, now a couple of Norm Smiths and a couple of premierships. Do you think by the end of his career he could become the most decorated Tiger of all time? Or at least right up there with Jack Dyer.
You'd have to think so. I mean, he's 27, 28 years of age. I'm thinking that he probably... Yeah, he's given himself every opportunity. Now, it's hard to say because I didn't see Jack Dyer as a player, but what we're witnessing with Dustin at the moment is his ability to play well in big games. Obviously, the grand finals are the biggest games you can have. He's just second to none. He just gets it done. Yeah,
Can we get him on as a guest?
I spoke to him about this on Saturday
night.
Probably
this week wouldn't be a great
idea. He was pretty inebriated when I was like, get him on the podcast. And he's like, I want to come on the podcast. So
Is there any danger, though?
Let me do a little bit of work on it.
Can you tell us one thing about Dusty we don't know? Because it's amazing that, you know, like the stars of our sport, like yourself or Patrick Dangerfield, you know a lot about them. Whereas Dusty, you really don't know anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was funny after the game where he's like, I was with Asada when he came on late after the thing.
Yeah, we missed the celebrations for a bit there because he was with Asada. Well, both the Norm Smiths he's won. If you have a look at the photo post that, the Norm Smith medal was tucked under his jumper and he's only got his premiership medal out.
That's cool.
That on top of the Marlin kick. I mean, it just sort of...
He's a team player.
Yeah, He's a
family man, it looks like, too.
He's a megastar, but he's just as team-driven as everyone.
Yeah.
And a great speech good guy writer as well.
Hodgie, you love that, don't you? Yellow and black!
It's like
six-word speech, and now I'm out of words, so I'm just going to say it.
It just yells it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. He's even... he'll be even better when he jumps on balls and bumpers. Imagine that on his CV. Just slot it on that, like guest appearance.
It'd sit comfortably next to the Brownlows and the Norm Smiths, I would have thought.
Right, yeah. So we're running over time here, guys. So just run us through the highlights from that moment on. The highlights when you look back on Saturday night. What was the itinerary? What was your favourite moments when you look back on it?
Spending time with my family and really enjoying it with my dad and catching up with old mate here and talking to him and just seeing the joy on the parents' faces. I had a bloody great chat to Tom Lynch's parents about what it meant to them for their son to be a premiership player and to be really happy with where his football was at, and sort of that really meant a lot. I had a great chat to Liam Baker's parents as well on the Sunday about how proud they were that their son was a premiership player. His old man goes, I just wanted him to play eight to ten games this year. That's all I wanted. And he ends up playing 15 games and he's a premiership player and he's from the middle of nowhere in WA. So they're the stories that I'll cherish for a long, long time. And they're I suppose the backbone of every athlete is the support network and their families and friends. And when you see them enjoying it as well, it makes it all the more sweeter.
Joey, Scotty was the king of the September club on Saturday night. What were your highlights of your first grand final and your first grand final?
What can you remember?
Night?
Let's put it that way.
No, I can remember everything, mate. I was I'm very good with that. But September Club was decent. Seeing Hodgie, and I actually saw the enemy of the podcast, John Ralph.
Really? I heard you got done for like striking.
Yes, I got done for striking.
He's giving the old Daniel Ricciardo sack tap to the enemy of the podcast.
Yep.
Exactly.
He copped a couple of sack taps for just being a genuine flog, but we got into him a fair bit. And then, you know what? One of the most guttering experiences of my life. I had a denim jacket on, right? And so I was rocking around this thing. Looked pretty good, don't get me wrong. So I see Bob Murphy. He's the man of the denim jacket. And I've rolled in. And he saw me, gave me a hug, rah, rah, rah. And then he looked under my denim jacket. And there holds a Richmond jumper. And I've never seen a grown man's heartbreak even more than Bob's. I actually felt bad.
I've actually got a photo of that moment where Bob's heart's broken and then Scott asked for a photo. So we'll put that up on the Balls and Bumpers
page.
We should put that up because I showed the, it was a good jumper. Too.
You're getting the Bulldog to become a Tiger.
Do you get an invite back, do you reckon? To September Club?
What
about Ricky Ponting?
Party,
what about Ricky Ponting? What happened there?
Oh, yes. So I was double parked and I've gone to shake Punter's hand. Ricky Ponting's, Scotty, how are you, mate? So I had to sort of pass me beers to Carly.
Your mates with him?
So it freed, we are pretty close. And then just freed up my hand to shake his glorious hand. And, he was actually really cool, though. But just seeing Punter, and I was like, where are you going, mate? Where are you off? I'm coming with you. So I was just following him like a little lost dog. It was pretty funny.
Oh, there we go. Our man, the name dropper.
Right.
Not bad.
Jack, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, celebrations. Give us a couple of highlights. What were the funny moments, the great moments you look back and reflect on fondly?
We went to the Panton Hill pub, which is about an hour out of Melbourne. So we were sat at this local pub for a whole day and just had a bloody good time. It was only us in there, just had a few laughs, and the bus trip home with us, a bit of fun. Went back and played a bit of indoor cricket at the club, which was pretty good fun. I wouldn't mind seeing some footage of that, of sort of 35 inebriated blokes trying to bowl a cricket ball. Might have been made a bit of a laugh. But
any broken windows?
No broken windows. BNF last night, which Dion won, which was awesome. I think most of the boys are pretty cooked by then. So today we've had our exit reviews, and tomorrow we will be signing 2,000 items of memorabilia. So 6 hours of penman work.
I held the cup, Hodgie. There's a photo going around of me holding the cup as well.
It disappeared. I thought Scott's gone or Carly's finally got him and dragged him home. But you were still going.
Yeah. Impressive. I held the cup and wore the medal while slotting a rosé.
That was our choice. That was our choice of drink on Saturday night, rosé.
What was the go with that?
I don't know. We've lost the plot.
Rightio. There's big news here, Jack. Your top five, it's got a sponsor.
Hey, Dad, in the olden days, did your car have a fridge and canopy?
No, son.
What was it like?
Well, the Esky would leak on hot days, the tray would fill on rainy days, and the suspension was so rough, things would go flying out the back.
But now we can get a canopy from the new car shop?
You betcha, kiddo. We can get all our ARB accessories straight from the dealer. Just gotta ask.
Order your ARB accessories with your new car today. Talk to the team at ARB Bairnsdale and Traralgon or the new Sale 4-Wheel Drive Centre. Just gotta ask.
Jack, last week you put the call out for a sponsor.
Oh, they've answered.
And they're on board.
They're on board.
Big. Huge.
So, all right, well, do you want me to read this thing?
Yeah.
I'll read it. Okay.
Sure, sponsor. Here we go.
Now, whether you're a tradie, grey nomad, or just a weekend warrior who loves to explore the great outdoors, ARB has the best gear to get you there. From vehicle protection equipment, suspension and canopies to swags, awnings, compressors and more, ARB has everything you need to know to get you out on the tracks, Tim. For all your 4x4 needs, from the Latrobe Valley to the border, drop in and see Daniel, Emily and the team at ARB Traralgon Sale 4-Wheel Drive Centre and the ARB Bairnsdale. Proud sponsors of the podcast.
Good on you, Jack.
And sponsors of my top five. So, Tim, I've brought one sponsor in. Scott, you've done nothing. You're riding our coattails. And that leads us into the top five. And, look, I'm just going to do it on the grand final.
I've been waiting for this, Scott.
My top five moments of the grand final. And there was plenty there, Tim. I'm not going to go to any off-field, but they're all going to be on-field. Number five, Shane Edwards bumped Jacob Hopper, and it was like a semi-trailer hitting a brick wall. He's not really big, Shane Edwards, but he bumped him, and Hopper was down for a while. It was a fair bump, but...
Yeah, I've seen that.
At centre-half forward, it sounded ferocious. So that was number five. I've got Cochin's goal as number four. That was a really big moment at the end of the game for us. So obviously broke 50 after having about three bounces and slotted it. The sort of jump celebration he did, I don't think he timed that as well as what he would have liked to. It had a bit of David Warner about it after getting a 50, and I sort of feel like he really needs to work on his ability to jump and celebrate. So that was number four. Number three was Cochin's tackle on Shane Mumford early on in the game. The big boy mummy, he wanted to bring the pressure and whatnot, and they were going to try and target Trent, sorry, and he slammed Mumford to the ground, and I think that was really a sort of uplifting for us. Number two, these are two moments together: Marlon Pickett's goal and that marvellous blind turn on Lockie Whitfield. Probably didn't need to do it, Marlon, but I still love the fact that he just did this unbelievable 360. Kicked it to Jace Castagna, who went on to kick one of his five behinds.
It's a shame he didn't top that off for the goal, because it deserved it, that passage of play.
And the number one moment for me, the final siren. You can't beat it. It was an amazing moment and something that I'll never forget. Go the Tigers! Yellow and black! There you go, boys. That's it. The top five moments. So,
I'm over it. Shut it down.
Thanks to Daniel and the
team. I've only watched the granny three times since it happened, so
you would have.
I'll pop it on again.
Thanks to Daniel and the team for jumping on board.
Yeah, sponsor. Scotty hasn't got one yet, though.
That's it. White.
Joey, get that off, mate. Come on, that was 2016.
We'll come 2019. Out snarling. All right, sorry, I'll stop.
So the beauty for us guys is that it's the AFL Premiership just gone. The NRL Grand Final is this week, and then next week we can meet.
Do we have a buy-in in the NRL Grand Final?
Not really.
Okay.
Let's go the Raiders 13 plus, sports bet.
Canberra Milk, Mark Webber, he's friend of the podcast.
All about it. Yeah, he is too, friend of the podcast.
But next week it's your Grand Final equivalent, Scotty. What are the chances of tracking you down next week for a podcast?
Nah, very certain. I really want to do it. I think it'd be great for me mindset. So let's do it.
I'm coming. Our flights are booked. We're driving in from...
He's coming.
We're driving in from Sydney. We've got the...
Through the Blue Mountains. It's a beautiful drive.
Through the Blue Mountains, is it? Oh, well, how long will it take?
So who's coming? You, Charlie?
And my old man, Cabbage. And I've got a mate coming as well. So...
good.
Yeah, looking forward to my first ever Bathurst trip.
And Scotty looking after you with some corporate hospitality?
Yeah, not corporate. Anyway, you need four tickets, not three. So that's a stitch up, first thing.
Oh, well, four tickets will do, mate. And I'm looking forward to seeing our boy go for Bathurst. How exciting. I reckon I'm going to be there and just get him over the line.
I'm pretty excited for it. And I spoke to a few of the boys at work, and they're actually pretty excited to have you boys around. So
do you want me to bring the medallion up there so you can wear it during the shootout just to really rub some luck off on you?
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
What do you think? Can you break the record time that you did 2 years ago at Bathurst in the shootout?
I think you're going to be up the front. I really do. I think you're going to have to do some that time at some point to be fast right at the front.
Just focus on 161 laps on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I don't really care about the pole.
All right, well, that's it then, eh?
Yep.
We'll see you there. When do you get there? Friday.
Friday, Arvo.
Hodgie, are you coming?
Yeah, I'll be there. So we'll drop a podcast. We'll try and track you down early next week. So if you're going to Bathurst, log on, click on. Joey, tell us the details. How do we...
This is Joey, everyone.
What do we need people to... What do we need them?
You can subscribe to Balls and Bumpers on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and on iHeartRadio now, Hodgie. And we want you to leave a 5-star review.
Yeah.
And a rating. Yep.
And Scotty needs a sponsor, so he needs to find something.
And if everyone can't tell, Joey's about 5 foot tall.
You can't tell.
Man, we're out on that. Well done, boys.
Congrats, Jack. We're all bloody proud of you.
Are you ready? Supercross is coming to Melbourne. Don't miss the Monster Energy Oz X Open inside Marvel Stadium on November 30.
See two-time world champion Chad Reed take on 2018 world champion Jason Anderson from the USA, Australia's best, and the greatest of all time, Ricky Carmichael. More racing, more action, more entertainment for all ages. Don't miss out. Book at Ticketmaster now.